As we head toward Arizona's August primary elections, we're inviting in the candidates running in contested races to talk about why they're running and some of the key issues in their contests.
You know, it's been 24 years since Arizona has had an educator at the helm of the Department of Education.
I am a proud American Muslim woman.
That although our election system is the greatest in the world, it is still far from perfect.
We need more options for our young people, more counselors, more social workers.
Common Core's been repealed by the State Board of Ed, and now we have new standards.
And we know what's possible if we keep moving forward.
The current shortcomings of the office have left our system vulnerable to cyber attacks.
We're gonna fly, fight, and win on Election Day with your help.
Today, Kyrsten Sinema. She's the current Congresswoman in District 9, where she has served since January of 2013. A Democrat, she's running for the U.S. Senate seat that'll be vacated by the retirement at the end of this year of Jeff Flake. Prior to her U.S. House experience, Sinema was elected four times as a state lawmaker, and she's with me to talk about what she'll focus on if she becomes a U.S. senator. Congresswoman, many of your early TV ads are focused on improving health care for veterans, so how big a priority is that for you?
Well, I'm so glad you've asked about veterans. As you all know, and I think as listeners know, this is very, very personal for me. My older brother is a Marine, and my younger brother's actually still on active duty. He's a gunner's mate in the Navy. So I come from a family of military service, and I believe that our country should do a better job in taking care of our veterans. And unfortunately, the VA has failed veterans in Arizona for many years. We've been working to try and reform the system, so I've been partnering with Senator John McCain over the last about 4 years now to try and make the system work better. Most recently, we passed a bill called the VA Mission Act. President Trump just signed it into law last month, and we hope that it will allow us to reform the system so that veterans can get better care, not just at the VA, but also from community partners like our great hospitals and private providers. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually spending a lot of time right now working with our local providers to help integrate the new mission, the VA Mission Act, into integrated care here in Arizona.
And then, of course, we saw what happened with the Affordable Care Act. President Trump came into office wanting to overturn it. Then there was talk of repeal and replace. A lot of people, even Democrats, think there need to be tweaks. So there's some things that come to mind for you.
Absolutely. The reality is that our healthcare system is broken in America. And what we should do is just figure out how to fix the stuff that's broken and protect the stuff that's working. So right now in Arizona, premiums are too expensive. And unfortunately, as a result of the tax bill that passed in December, it looks like premiums will probably increase again this fall. And that's not fair for everyday Arizonans because they just can't afford it. There's also another provision of the law that I've been working really hard to delay or repeal, and that's the health insurance tax. I've been working with Kristi Noem, who's a member of Congress from South Dakota. She and I have successfully passed legislation to delay the health insurance tax in years past. We hope that this July that we can pass that bill again to delay the tax one more year. This is a big deal because right now, businesses that are doing the right thing by providing health care for their employees are facing a huge tax on this health care, upwards of $400 per year per family. So Kristi and I are working to try and delay this so that they don't see that increased tax on their health care benefits next year. Knock on wood, we'll get it done this summer.
One other issue that is really important to Arizonans and would seem less important to other states around the country, but those seem to be some of the states that went for President Trump, is immigration. What to do about immigration reform? What to do about, in particular, DACA recipients? Because that's an issue that seems to have great support from both sides of the aisle, and yet nothing seems to be done. If you were to prioritize immigration reform, what's at the top of the list for you?
Well, it's actually a bill that we've been working on in a bipartisan way for a number of months now. It's called the USA Act. It has 20 Republican and 20 Democratic co-sponsors, and I'm one of the first people to help craft this legislation. It's a bill that provides a path to citizenship for our Dreamers, and we know Dreamers make up a huge part of Arizona's population, and these are really bright young people who've graduated from our schools and colleges, joined our military, and are working really hard. Our bill gives a path to citizenship for those Dreamers and combines it with smart investment in border technology and boots on the ground. So making sure that we're buying drones and cameras and towers and investing in the staff who can help us get situational control of the border and stop these bad guys who are bringing in drugs and human smuggling and human trafficking.
When it comes down to really getting it done, because when President Trump tweets something about illegal immigrants or people who are coming across the border, people automatically turn to terrorism. There are others who say, okay, logically, technology does make more sense. There needs to be that. What gives you optimism that something would change, the rhetoric would change at least?
Well, I don't spend a lot of time being concerned about the rhetoric.
Okay.
What I spend most of my time really focused on is how to get the solution done. And our bill, the USA Act, actually has enough support to pass the House of Representatives. What we haven't gotten is a commitment from leadership. Party leadership on either side hasn't said, let's move this bill forward. But we know if this bill were to come to the floor of the House, it would pass. Because most Americans, and this is certainly true for Arizonans right here at home, we know that the situation on the border is broken. We know our immigration system is broken. And what we're looking for are just common sense, practical solutions that protect Arizonans and Americans and also do what's right for our border and for our dreamers.
So Arizona's relationship with Mexico is a very important one, even if we just look at it from an economic standpoint. President Trump's tariffs, that has caused some issues. NAFTA renegotiations has caused some worries as well. What are your thoughts about that, the economic relationship between the U.S. and Mexico and Canada as well?
Well, Mexico is our largest trading partner, Canada's number two, and China's number three. So the administration's recent actions around tariffs and kind of flirting with a trade war is really concerning to me, because the outcome of those kinds of escalations around poor or renegotiated NAFTA agreements that don't do a good job for our country, that could have a really negative impact on Arizona's economy. And a tariff war between Mexico, Canada, ourselves, and even China is really dangerous for Arizona. And so I think you see a united front from Republicans and Democrats together on this issue to just say to the administration, this is not the kind of trade communication we want to have with our close partners.
This next question is purely hypothetical, because even if you become a senator, it probably would be after the fact. But we've seen Justice Kennedy retire from the Supreme Court. And one of the big key issues that people are very concerned about, let's say, especially on the left, is the future of Roe v. Wade. If you were to be on the Senate Judiciary Committee, what are some important questions you would want to ask the next nominee to the Supreme Court?
I'm so glad you've asked that question. First, I do think it's important to note that this nominee, when the person is nominated, this debate will probably happen this fall before I serve in the United States Senate. But it may come up again if I am lucky enough to be a United States Senator. And as an attorney, this is a really important question for me. And I think that the questions you want to ask are really about the individual nominee's history and body of work. Mm-hmm. So things that I would be looking for is, what is this person's belief around jurisprudence? What is his or her understanding of the interpretation of the Constitution? If this person has served on a lower bench before, I would want to read that individual's opinions to see, is this person making decisions that are in line with general jurisprudence? Mm-hmm. Is he or she respected by their peers? So what is that person's ABA or American Bar Association rating? If this person wasn't a former judge, let's say that he or she was a prosecutor or a law professor, I'd want to go and read their arguments or the things that they've written to see how they interpret the Constitution. And what I would be looking for is someone who seeks to interpret the Constitution without bias or favor, someone who just seeks to understand the law and then decide cases that are presented to the court based on the facts and history of long-settled precedent.
You were known most of your time in the Arizona legislature and then most of your time in the House. You've been seen as someone who's bipartisan, who works across the aisle.
That's
we
right.
talked about that a little bit. First of all, why is that your approach? And secondly, is that an approach that seems anachronistic now or archaic?
That's so funny, because I thought you were going to say outdated, but it's not. We're making it cool again. So why is it that I've always been someone who works well across the aisle? I think part of it is the way that I was raised. You know, my family is a very conservative family who taught me some of the core values that I hold today. But I also learned growing up how important it is to respect where other people are coming from and to understand and truly believe that every person approaches public service from a place of wanting to do good and help our country. And when you believe that about those you serve with, it's really hard to be judgmental or upset about their opinions, because they're doing their best for the country just like you are. And when you really believe and respect that about other people, it's much easier to identify common ground. The second reason would be that I'm very practical and I like to get stuff done.
Okay.
And if you're interested in getting stuff done in a divided government, The best way to get stuff done is to be willing to work with people who are different than yourself. That certainly has been my experience in the state legislature. It's been my experience in Congress, and I expect that to be my experience in the United States Senate.
Congresswoman Kyrsten Sinema is now a U.S. Senate candidate, a Democrat from Arizona. Thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure, as always.